Sharing the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, letting you know that He loves you, He cares about you, and He wants to meet the need in your life. Welcome to the Lord's House and Messages on Demand. And now, today's message.
Father, today I thank you for your blessings. I thank you for your word. And I ask now, as we bring this message, Father, that you would anoint me to deliver the word as you would have me to do so. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. A week or so ago, I was opening my Bible on the computer, looking for a specific scripture regarding a prayer clause, which is found in Acts chapter 19, verse 12, for those of you that are interested. And in verse 11, it says, "And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul," then verse 12, "so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them." Well, kind of a fill-in here. We was preparing this as we were getting ready to anoint some handkerchiefs or prayer cloths at church to send to someone that needs a healing in their body. And we were preparing for this, and I wanted to make sure that I had the scripture correct as I was mailing these prayer cloths to the particular individual that we were sending them to. And I had left my computer Bible set on that particular scripture. And as I was preparing for this message then, I opened my computer Bible back up, and really it wasn't quite sure what God was speaking to my heart to speak about and what message to bring to you. Well, when the computer Bible came up, it automatically came back up to Acts chapter 19, verse 12. And I happened to look down to the verse right below it, and that verse began to speak to my heart, because I was quite concerned of some things that I had just heard, some of the activity that's taking place in the church in the name of Jesus, in the name of God, that borders on if not is outright fraud in some cases. And I was really concerned about that. And lo and behold, chapter 13 of Acts chapter 19, in the King James Bible on my computer, it has a breakdown by kind of what the topic is about. And it listed it as the Jewish exorcist. Now, I know for some of you that you see programs on your TV, especially on cable networks, about exorcists, and you see people about who mediums and people who are doing all kinds of various things that, quite honestly and quite frankly, the Bible speaks against, yet some are doing it as if they are doing it in the name of God. I see one of them wears a Christian cross around their neck as they perform these activities, which the Bible specifically forbids. And we're seeing more and more of this today as some of these things are beginning to creep back into the church. Things that God spoke against thousands of years ago, Jesus spoke against them, and they're coming back into the church today in His name in many cases. And I've really been concerned about some of these things that are happening within the church. I'm concerned for the church of today. We need a revival within the church. We need a spiritual awakening within the church. We need to downright get our hearts in the right place with God if we are truly Christians. And some of the things that I hear just outright astonish me. My wife told me at one program she was watching the other night, and the guy said, "Well, I've never known anybody that prayed a lot to be rich." And I thought, what's that got to do with it? And other things. It seems like in a lot of cases, everything to do with Christianity that we find on television in particular seems to do is how wealthy you are. I've got news for that guy, and he's got a lot of money. I'm richer than he is, I think, in the kingdom of God. Now, I don't know that for a fact, but I most likely am, because my riches are laid up there, and his are all down here. His are going to fade away. Mine are for eternity. They're eternal. Well, here we've got this particular scriptures that follow in chapter 19 of the book of Acts, beginning with verse 13. And in the Geneva Bible, which is also on my computer, it breaks that topic down as to verse 13, the Jewish exorcist, and verse 16, are beaten of the devil. And I thought that was kind of an interesting little topic heading to put on there. Now, I realize that these topic headings were not in the original translations and so on, but it kind of gives us an idea. Well, let's read with verse 13 here of Acts chapter 19. Then certain of the vagabond, and this word that's translated in vagabond in the King James can be translated itinerant, or as one who traveled from place to place. So let's start beginning again. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon themselves to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, "We adjure you by the Jesus whom Paul preacheth." Boy, can't you just imagine going into church and wanting somebody to pray for you, and they come up to you and, "We pray over you in the name of Jesus who Paul preached," or "who brother so-and-so preached." Why are they doing it that way? Because they don't have a relationship. And we're going to get into that more a little bit later in the message. Now here are these people. Who were they? Well, the Bible tells us in verse 14, "And there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew, and the chief of priests which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said," listen now, "Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you?" And I can have imagined if we were to say that today, we'd say he might answer, "Jesus I know, and I know Paul, but who in the world are you? Who do you think you are?" Verse 16, "And the man in whom the evil spirit was leapt upon them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded." In other words, he beat them up. Well, I bet they wish they'd have never tangled with this guy. Well, who are these guys exactly? We're told that their dad was a guy named Sceva, who was the chief priest in Ephesus. So if their dad was the chief priest, you would think they would have a little bit of knowledge about God, about the things of God, some knowledge of what the devil is like, and many of these other things. Well, this points out to us right here, just because your parents were Christian, or maybe your grandparents were Christian, doesn't automatically make you a Christian. Doesn't automatically make you that child of God. It's not something we're born into in the natural. Our family does not determine whether or not we are a child of God. And of course, I'm speaking of our natural family there. So you would think they would have a proper knowledge of some of the things of God. But apparently, they were very ignorant about the things of God. Apparently, they had absolutely no idea what was going on in the realm of God. And so they were very ignorant. They don't really have much of a clue who Jesus is or was. Not really anything about him. This Jesus whom Paul preached, who Paul is talking about, whoever he may be, we're going to kick you out in his name. That doesn't work too well. They didn't have a clue. And the complete Jewish Bible, Acts chapter 19, verse 13, reads, I exorcise you by the Yeshua that Shaul, Paul, is preaching. In other words, get out by the name of this Jesus that Paul is talking about. They had no relationship. And too many times we get religion and relationship confused. I want to repeat that. Too many times we get religion and relationship confused. I know I've mentioned it in messages before, but I had a young man come to me a number of years ago and began to ask me about my religion. And this was someone I worked with. And I told him right up front, look, I don't have religion. I have relationship. I have a relationship with God, the creator of the universe. That's who I have a relationship through, his son Jesus, who died on the cross for my sins, that I could have that relationship. And let's just take a look for a moment here at the definitions of these two words. Religion is a set of beliefs. It's your belief system. And believe me, you can make a religion out of just about anything. And there are some very, very strange ones out there. Some people in certain parts of the world worshiped totem poles. And the Bible even talks about something that's very similar to a totem pole called an Asherah pole. And so they worshiped that. They worshiped animals. Hindus worship cows. They believe that they're to be worshiped and they're a god. Other things that are very strange that you and I look at sometimes, maybe who are raised in a country such as America that has predominantly Christian beliefs, and we look at this and we think it's very strange and very weird, but yet there's a lot of it going on out there. And we see a lot of it going on here in America even today, of strange things being worshipped. We worship people sometimes. You just talk about some of these fan clubs for some of these movie stars or rock stars, and they worship them almost like a god. Oh, I've seen pictures on the news of some of these concerts and the people crying and throwing up their hands as if in praise to God, giving worship to these rock stars. That's religion. It's a belief system. But relationship is a connection. It's an association. It's an involvement. The definition in dictionary.com goes on to say, connection between persons by blood or by marriage. By blood or by marriage. Well, if we're truly Christians, we are connected by blood. Simple as that. You know, in the natural, we're connected to family by blood, and we talk about blood relatives. That's because we're related through the bloodline of our parents to these particular people. And as Christians, true born-again Christians, we are connected to God, to Jesus Christ, through his blood that was shed on the cross of Calvary. In fact, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22, reading from the Holman Christian Standard Bible, according to the law, almost everything is purified with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Now, I know that one of the other translations, there is no remission of sin. There is no forgiveness of sin if there was not the shedding of blood. In the Old Testament time, they had to shed the blood of bulls and goats upon the altar, and that's how they brought their sin offering once a year, for that shedding of blood for the forgiveness of their sin. But when God sent his only Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross, that his blood would be shed there, it was for the forgiveness of our sin. So we're connected by blood. We are blood bought. He paid the price on the cross of Calvary with his blood. and marriage. That was the other one here. And the Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 21, verse 9, and one of the seven angels who had held the seven bowls filled with the seven last plagues came and spoke with me, "Come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb." And who are we referred to in Scripture? We're referred to as the bride of Christ. We are the bride of Christ. We are connected by marriage because we are the bride. Oh, so we're connected a number of ways through to Jesus Christ. We're connected a number of ways by bloodline, by marriage to Jesus. Now the seven sons of Sceva, they had religion. There's no doubt about that. They had a religion. And they were practitioners of their religion. But they did not have a relationship. Now I want to go back to the religion part just a moment here. Because too many times today, and it's sad to say, too many times today, within the Christian church, we let this religion step in and take too big of a grab out of us. Because some people will say, if you don't belong to the denomination I belong to, or if you don't attend the church that I attend, you're lost. You're not saved if you don't attend my church, if you don't attend my denomination. And I know over the years, I've mentioned it a number of times, I grew up in a particular denomination. I was credentialed with that particular denomination for a number of years. But one of the things as a child growing up, I felt like if you didn't go to my church, if you didn't belong to the denomination I belong to, you were lost. Now, no offense, you Baptist folks that might be listening, but I thought you were lost. I felt sorry for you because a number of my friends were Baptists, and I felt sorry for them. Because they surely couldn't be saved because they were Baptists. That's not the case. It's whether or not you have accepted the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed on the cross of Calvary, the price he paid. And if you have not done that, I don't care which church you go to, you're lost. But if you accepted Jesus Christ and he dwells in your heart, then you are saved. You are a child of God. And that's where relationship comes in, because we become that child of God. Now the devil knows who is a child of God and who has a relationship. He knows if you're a child of God. He knows if you have that relationship. I was thinking about the marriage part of it. In most parts of the world, when they have the marriage ceremony, however it may be, typically a ring is given, or some token is given to show that that woman and that man are joined together, that they belong to each other. And the ring is put upon the finger as a symbol, as a token of their relationship. And we don't particularly wear a ring on our finger showing that we have this relationship with God. We don't particularly wear a piece of jewelry showing that we have that relationship with God, because there's a lot of people that wear a cross around their neck that are far from being saved, that are far from being born again. And that's just a blunt, plain fact. Just because you wear a cross around your neck doesn't make you a Christian. It doesn't put you in that relationship. But I will tell you what the devil sees, knowing that you are a child of God. The Scripture tells us that Jesus Christ abides in us. His Spirit abides in us. The Holy Spirit abides in us. He dwells in us. And the devil sees that. If you're not a Christian, if you're not a child of God, the Holy Spirit is not dwelling in you. God's Spirit is not dwelling in you. But if you are a child of God, his Spirit is dwelling in you. And the devil sees that his Spirit is dwelling in you. And he knows that he'd better leave you alone. Now, that's not to say he doesn't mess with you, because he does. He does little things all the time. Sometimes he does some big things, if he thinks he can get away with it. But he knows if we are or are not a child of God. So when they attempted to exorcise the demons from this man, they knew that they didn't have a relationship because of the way they tried to cast him out. In the name of this Jesus whom Paul preaches. We don't really know who he is, but we'll cast him out. We're casting you out in his name. Thus they had no authority. And if we don't have authority, we're not going to get very far. You know, in Luke chapter 9, verse 1, Jesus called his disciples together. And let's read that verse. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. Let's read it again. Gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. So my question today to you that are listening to me right now, who are you? Are you the one that's just using a religion? Or are you one who has a relationship? Do you just have religion, or are you in a relationship with God? You know, a lot of people are on a thing on the internet called Facebook. And in Facebook, you go in and you set up a page and you tell about yourself in there. And a lot of people, there's a question that's asked whether or not you're in a relationship. And people will put down yes, no, engaged, married, whatever. Some people put down looking. Well, we're in a relationship with God if we're Christians. But if you have that relationship, that is something that you have to work out between you and God. It is not something that someone else does for you. It's not something that someone else sets up in your behalf. It is not something that you depend upon an outside source, but it is something that is between you and God. Whether or not you have a religion or relationship, that decision is up to you. I want you to think about it. Do you have that relationship? Do you have that relationship today? If someone came up to you and said, I need prayer for this particular need, can you pray for me? Would you stumble over a prayer that maybe you heard somebody else pray or something, and you'd get through it, but you really didn't know what you're doing? In essence, you'd be praying, well, in the name of Jesus, whom I heard so-and-so pray to, I pray that this will take place. Or are you uttering that prayer as you're calling out to God with authority because you are his child? You are part of the bride of Christ. You are that child of God, both by relationship, by blood, and by marriage. Is that the way it is in your life today? Or are you just stumbling around blindly, hoping for the best? The decision is up to you. And today, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you've got religion, but you don't have relationship. I ask you to invite Jesus Christ into your heart today, that you can establish that relationship. It's so easy. All you've got to do is ask him to come in. Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me of my sin. Make me a part of the family of God. Help me to live for you all the rest of the days of my life. And as I was preparing this message today, I felt impressed, and we don't do this often on the program. And I've told people various places, I've told people at church, there is no distance in the power of prayer. A prayer I pray today may be heard by someone via the internet many days from now, but it still works just as good. And if you're sick today, if you have a need in your life, I want you to just reach out. I just want you to stretch out your hand toward God, toward heaven, as we pray this prayer. Father, I come before you now in the name of Jesus. First of all, I ask if there's anyone that's listening that does not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, that the Holy Spirit would speak to their heart, to their life, in Jesus' name. And now for those that are sick and in need, Father, that have spiritual needs, that have physical needs, have financial needs, I pray, Father, that you would meet that need today in the name of your Son, Jesus, by whom we have become the bride, by whom we are also referred to that he is our elder brother. Father, we have that relationship. And Father, because of that relationship, we ask now that these needs would be met in the name of your Son, Jesus. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 through 26. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.
Thank you for listening. We hope that you have been blessed by this message and that you will invite your friends to listen. If you would like to contact us, please visit our website at www.tlhf.us. You can also contact us by email at pastor@tlhf.us or by post at the Lord's House at P.O. Box 1348, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. Messages on Demand is a Didaskalos production and a ministry of the Lord's House Fellowship Incorporated.